and it's time for conflict. And Joe had presented the image of your dukes being up and you're ready. And what the Lord said to me, which I have to deal with just now, was it's the same when you watch a lot of sports. When you watch sports a lot and that's your thing, your dukes are up. You're ready to call on every ref or umpire that doesn't call it right for your team, are you not? Mm-hmm. You're ready to tell them, you know what? You talk to the TV if you have to, right? Because they missed it. And you need for them to know how they missed it. And you are looking for that replay if it's a game where there's a replay. You want it to be called correctly. What are you looking for? You're looking for the truth, right? And for those of us, and I am very much included, who are very passionate about my sports teams, that means that I'm feeding my flesh, just saying what the Lord just gave me, and it hurts me too. I'm feeding my flesh when I spend a lot of my time watching sports. Unless, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can yield to Him and recognize, okay, even if they called it wrong, even if at the end of the day it was because it was because of poor reffing or whatever it was, my team still lost, and I can be gracious about it to the opposing team instead of gloating that Seattle lost, for example, that would be walking in grace. That would be walking in grace. But it takes the Holy Spirit, and it takes actively engaging, connecting with Holy Spirit in the midst of that. That's just a conflict that has maybe nothing to do with you and your spouse, maybe nothing to do with you and your boss, maybe nothing to do with you and your teammates, but it is a type of a conflict that we get into. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we actually saw His glory, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace and truth." And we all know that John 1, he's talking about Christ, those of us who know the Lord. John 1:17 says, "For while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came through Jesus, but the law, which is still good, came through Moses. When we're in conflict, we want our mate to do right, to be right, but what we are living out of is our flesh. And the flesh is what is the only thing we could have used before Christ to fulfill the law. So again, we rise up in the law with the law focus of, you have done me wrong. I need to tell you how you've done me wrong.
I want payment.
I want my restitution, and I want it now. And I'm going to tell you about yourself. That's law. That's a law-based relationship. That's a law-based way of doing conflict. But you all who are saved, you all who have Christ in you, have the very power of the One who moves in grace and truth.
So we want to go a little deeper in this class when we talk about compassion and grace. We really need to go a little bit deeper to a point of acknowledging that we all are broken in some way. Because of life, because of relationship, because of circumstances. That yes, we have many things in Christ. We know who we are. We have an authority. We have all these things. But they're places that are still broken. And relationships bring out those places. those places that are broken, especially when we get married, okay? They bring out those broken places. So two things I want to talk about is brokenness and weakness. Brokenness are those things that have deeply affected us in life, that have caused us hurts and pains and keep us in bondage because we're not able to walk in the freedom of being whole, okay? Because maybe we've still got anger, we've got bitterness, we've got unforgiveness, we've got those things that while we walk in Christ, we have not dealt with. Our weakness is our inability to do anything about it. And most times in conflict, those areas are exposed. But the problem in conflict is that, you know, we do a lot of intimate encounters here, and we give you guys a lot of tools for communication. And over the past few weeks, we've been doing active listening, we've been doing emotional responding. We've been doing those things, and we've been giving you those tools. The problem with tools are they're only as effective as the hand that holds them. And so again, this causes us to have to come back and to look at ourselves and to look in our hearts and to really go before the Holy Spirit and to begin to do a work. When those areas are exposed, we can't just gloss them over. We can't just shove them away. We can't just go and say, okay, Lord, well, you know those areas, so Lord, you have to help me fix it. That's great. But we have to go on a journey of not only discovery, but we have to go on a journey of getting to the root of where those are. Because the Holy Spirit already knows where the root is. But for your healing, you have to know where the root is. You have to know how to pray. You have to know how this hurt that you all have and the pain that you all have . We've got to know how that's manifesting up here. Because your conflict is here. But as we talked about in the beginning of the class, the root is here. So now we can give you all the tools. We can give you all the IE tools, right? So you're doing all the IE tools. But you start finding yourself stuck. Okay, we can't get to a level of understanding. We can't get to a level of intimacy. We can't get to a level of understanding and being able to value each other. That's because we haven't dealt with this. Okay, your brokenness and your weakness, your inability to do anything about it. You have to get to this realization first. Because if we don't get to the realization, we'll always stay up here, right? We'll always stay up here, and maybe, you know, we'll deal with the conflict, and maybe the conflict's over. But guess what? A couple months later, we got another conflict going on. And a couple months later, we got another conflict going on. So what I'm saying is, conflict is inevitable, okay? Even after this has been healed, conflict is inevitable. But what happens is, when this has been healed, then these tools can kick into effect, right? And then now when we communicate, and we communicate on a level of feeling and intimacy, that now this is not hidden anymore. When you hurt me, I can feel, I can have a safe place to say, you know what, I love you, but this thing you said hurt me. And it allows our spouse to go down here and we deal with this. Because in every conflict it's here. When something is said, it doesn't stay here, it goes here. You know, when we get angry, well, you didn't let the toilet seat down, and blah, 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 and you don't wash the dishes, blah, 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 and you don't take the garbage out, blah, blah, blah. Right? Those things happen, but we're not dealing with what's going on here, and we're stuck. We have to get unstuck. We have to begin to let the Holy Spirit, we have to come to a realization first that there's brokenness. And then we have to be able to go on that journey of allowing the Lord to rewrite this for us. Okay? Because if I feel like I have no value and I have no worth, I've got to let the Holy Spirit begin to tell me that I have value and worth. And my value and worth is not based on anybody else. Now, in this class, I've said before that the most important thing for you to remember is that the only person that has the authority to tell you who you are is the one that created you. Okay? We love our parents, we love our spouse, but guess what? Your spouse doesn't have that right. Your parents don't have that right. Society doesn't have that right. Only God. Your healing starts when you know that it doesn't, yeah, there's a feeling of when somebody you love doesn't value you, but the truth of it is that you are still valued, and you're valued because the one that creates you says that you're valued. And every time you look at that cross, you have a validation of your value. And that begins a healing work so that we can begin to take these tools, okay, and begin to use them to be able to deal with this, okay?
So when we talk about going on a journey, we're not talking about, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone who either is doing therapy or is a therapist, but we're not talking about months and months of counseling. That's not what we're talking about. Your journey could be in an instant. It could be in an instant. Having a conversation with Holy Spirit, and just like that, Holy Spirit puts his finger on the root. Mm-hmm. And because you're willing and you're surrendered to Holy Spirit, you allow him to heal and to bring you the comfort that you need. It can take weeks. It could be that for you, the way to get there is by doing one-on-one Bible study. And by that, I mean with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing you scriptures that just jump off the page and really begin to open up those places in your heart where you need his ministry, where you need his love, where you need his comfort. So it could take weeks. It could take moments. Is it okay if I share about David?
Mm-hmm.
So David, as we watch with Pastor during the David series, and as is appropriate here, he's doing what he's doing, and he's been in this pattern of sinfulness, right? We don't know to this day what the root was in David that allowed him to enter into, he didn't fall into, to enter into choice sin, which for him was Bathsheba, right? We don't know, but he did. But what did David do the moment he was confronted by the prophet? When the prophet gave him the analogy of the sheep that was taken from the man and blah, 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 David renders judgment, you know, and Nathan says, "You are the man." What did David do? Immediately, he's grieved by his own brokenness. And more than anything, the way he has wounded the Lord. Because he ends up writing, "Against thee only have I sinned." Well, yeah, he sinned against more than just God. But really, at the end of the day, it was God. Why? Because God created Uriah. God created Bathsheba. You know, it was God's community, right? Israel was God's community. So who had the bulk of the hurt? It was God. And if he had not dealt with that, as we now know to be Psalm 51, he could have had the whole nation taken away from him. Compare that to Saul, who when he sinned, and he offered sacrifice he wasn't supposed to. Second, he did not kill the Agagite king that he was supposed to. He was told by God there was a reason. If Saul had taken care of that whole community the way he should have taken care of them, you probably would have never had Haman in the book of Esther. Because Haman was from that same tribe. Okay? So there are repercussions we don't recognize. We may think, oh, God's calling for me to do something that's pretty strong, but we don't see beyond the right now. Saul himself did not. When Samuel approached him and he says, oh yeah, you know, the bleeding of sheep that you hear, the men wanted to keep, you know, they wanted to keep a few choice lamb and sheep and, you know, all of that. And yeah, I chose not to kill this guy. He never acknowledged his sin against God. Again, God was wounded by that because God knew what the repercussions were going to be down the line for the people of God. Saul didn't know, but Saul also did not act on the way he should have acted, even after being confronted by it. He still resisted entering into that brokenness so that he could acknowledge, you know what? I messed up. I really messed up.
And I think that when we talk about brokenness, we need to realize that God has such a deep love and compassion for us that he wants to see us whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this, he's doing all of this so that we can come to him, because again, we talk about weakness. We don't have any ability to fix that. So that we can come to him so that he can give us his power to be able to be healed and to be whole. Because we have no hope of resolution apart from compassion, grace, and the mercy and unconditional love of the Father and the Son, who long to embrace each of us, to enter into the pain and cry with us. See, that's the beauty of the God that we have, is that he doesn't stand afar and say, okay, well, straighten up, you know, everything's going to be all right, just straighten up. But he enters into the pain with you and cries with you, feels with you. That's the amazing parts of it. And then he's there to wipe our tears and to let us know that he is there to restore us. So I want to read this, or Leona's going to read this, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. From the NIV, it says, starts kind of in the middle of a sentence.
Okay.
Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, talking about Paul's revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
So the powerful thing about this passage, you know, we look at it and we say many times, okay, well, Paul had this affliction and God would not take it away from him. But his statement that is so powerful is that my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul was in a place where he had this torment, okay? Paul was in a weak place. Paul could not do anything about this, okay? And he went to the Lord to ask for him to remove it. But what Paul, the revelation that Paul got out of that was by the statement that the Lord said, was that my power is made perfect in weakness. So what I want you to know is that when you're in those weak times, Because Paul says, I'm going to boast now more in my weakness. Because he understood the key. The key was, when I'm weak, then God's power is made strong in me. So now he says, okay, now I'm going to boast. Because not in myself, but because I know that God's power is able to rest on me. And so what I want you to understand is that when we acknowledge our brokenness and we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, this is not an area, but Lord, I don't have the strength to deal with this. God says, great. And when I say great, he's not overlooking the pain. He's not overlooking the hurt. He's not overlooking that. But what he's saying is, now you're giving me the opportunity for my power to work through you. And the reason that's so important is, you're not going to do this in your own power. Can somebody open the back door? And you're not going to resolve conflict in your own power. You are not going to resolve conflict the way that God wants conflict to be resolved in your own power. You're not going to be able to do it. In your own strength, you don't have enough compassion. In your own strength, you don't have enough grace. In your own strength, you don't have enough mercy. And many times we fail at this because we keep trying to do it our way. We keep trying to come up with our own way to do that, and it's not going to work. It's when we get to the end of ourselves, when we get here and we acknowledge that I don't have the strength to do it, and that I'm really at a place that I want God's power to move through me. Yeah. Then you're going to begin to find an amazing grace. You're going to begin to find an unfailing compassion. Because guess what? This grace and this compassion has nothing to do with the other person. If your grace and your compassion and your mercy has something to do with the reciprocation of the other person, it's you trying to do it out of your own. That's not God's. Because God's power that is resting in your weakness, right, will justify to you that your grace and your compassion and your mercy is right in the center of God's will, where he wants you, regardless of what this person does. But the amazing thing about it is, when you begin to move in that, that begins to have an effect on this person. Whether this person is in the same place that you are or not. Because what God is saying to you is, help me love this person well. And you help love this person well when you move in God's power and grace and compassion, regardless of what this person is doing. And this person experiences things that they are not, maybe are not worthy to experience.
Isn't that the very essence of grace? Getting, receiving, being poured onto what we don't deserve. We haven't earned it. There's no way we can earn it. But here we get to receive it. Mercy is not getting.
And that video is by Casting Crowns. And it reminded me so much of Leona and I's relationship and the times that we went through. And it was really about us coming together and being broken together. Realizing that it wasn't just only what we did to each other, but it was all the pain and the hurt that we brought into our relationship. And that the only way that this was going to work was to be broken together. And to have that compassion and grace for one another, because God opened my eyes that as broken as I was, she was just as broken. And God saying to me, can you not now have compassion on her as I have had compassion on you? And that was a turning point in our marriage. Okay, so now I want to do some, we need to do an exercise. So if you're here with your spouse, what I want you guys to do is to be able to turn and face each other. And then if you are not here with your spouse, to get with somebody else of the same sex. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell your spouse or the person you're partnered with two areas of weakness in your life. Two areas of weakness in your life. And the person that's listening, I want you to practice active listening. So when that person says the two areas of weakness in their life, I want you to repeat back to them. So what you're saying is, so that person knows that you really understand the weakness that they're talking about. And then I want you to go into emotional responding. When I hear that, that breaks my heart. When I hear that, that makes me want to weep for you. When I hear that, I just have so much grace and compassion for you.
And if it's okay, this is another question, is it okay if you don't know what to say to that person but you want to emotionally respond, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Because that's also bringing comfort, but it's good to ask. Because sometimes we're at a place where we're like, I don't know why, but don't touch me. But it's still important, even though I may be at that place, to know that you care enough, you want to give comfort, you want to emotionally respond, and what you're offering is a touch. I still receive that message, even if I tell you, no, I'm okay. Does that make sense? So we don't want the person trying to do the emotional responding to feel rejected. We want you to recognize that the hearer hears you, but is not at a place to be able to receive what you have to offer. Okay? And that's okay. They walk away knowing, oh my goodness, this person wants to bring me comfort.
And we're not trying to fix. Yeah. We're not trying to give suggestions. Yeah. We're not trying to cheer up and it'll be okay. We're not trying to do any of that, okay? We are actually practicing scripture, Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those that rejoice, mourn with those that mourn. I want you to enter into where that person is, okay? So we're gonna go ahead and start. I'm gonna give you guys 10 minutes. So, guys, if you're here with your spouses, start first, and then after that, then you guys can switch.
Not plastic. We are not mechanical. Even cars sometimes take weeks in the shop. But you are of much more value than anything. And yes, God can heal that in an instant. He's done it before. He's done it in your own life many times. That if you would just sit and think about, you would have a testimony. But there are also those times when he takes you through a path to the healing. Do not despise small beginnings. And do not despise the journey you are on.
And so, if we have opened up any of those places, we want to let you know that we love you and care for you deeply. But even more, God loves and cares for you so much deeper.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we have buried those things so far that the Lord has to open that back up to get there so that he can really touch you in a place that you have not allowed yourself to be touched, so that he can begin to heal those places. Because the Lord wants you whole. If you don't get anything out of today, is that the Lord wants you so whole that he will bring all, and does bring all of heaven and earth to bear, to let you know how much he longs for you to be whole, because he wants you to be at peace. And to be at peace means that now, as Jesus said, those springs of living water flow out to those around you that are in the night when you don't know, crying out for that same peace. But you have a little piece of that key to their peace. So what we're going to do right now is that I want, if you're here with your spouse, what I want you to do is I want you to turn toward your spouse. And what I want you to do is I want you to do this. I want you, she's going to put her hand on my heart. I'm going to put my hand on her heart. Okay? Those of you that are not here with your spouse, I want you to take both your hands and put them over your heart. You're signifying your hand and your spouse's hand. Okay? You're bringing your spouse into this prayer. Those of you that are not married, still do the same thing, as showing your completeness. Okay? And I learned this from when Lee had her heart surgery. Her heart's on over here. It's right here. It was weird, you know? It's like I went to school camp, and the doctor goes, no, it's actually in the center of your heart, the center of your chest. I was like, really? I've been doing this my whole life. So let's go ahead and do that. I want you to close your eyes.
And as you put your hand over your heart or over your mate's heart, you're going to be repeating a prayer.
Yeah, you're going to have a. I'm going to have you follow me in a prayer. But I want you to close your eyes. Okay. I want you to close your eyes. And if your spouse is with you, I want you to put your hand on their heart and vice versa. Okay. I want you to take a deep breath. Now repeat after me. Jesus.
Jesus,
I thank you for your unconditional love for me.
I thank you for your unconditional love for me.
I thank you that while you know, all my weak and broken places, it does not stop you from loving me.
It does not stop you from loving me.
I thank you that you long to heal.
I thank you that you long to heal
these places in my heart and life.
These places in my heart and life.
In Isaiah 61.
In Isaiah 61.
You said you came to set the captives free.
You said you came to set the captives free.
And to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted.
And to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted.
So right now.
So right now.
I give you the weak places.
I give you the weak places.
And the broken places.
And the broken places.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Where there is brokenness.
Where there is brokenness.
Make those areas whole.
Make those areas whole.
And where there is weakness.
And where there is weakness.
Fill those places with your power.
Fill those places with your power.
That I may be fully whole.
That I may be fully whole.
And complete in you.
And complete in you.
Ready to be your instrument of love.
Ready to be your instrument of love.
and grace to my near ones.
And grace to my near ones.
And those that are far off.
And those that are far off.
From you.
From you.
In your name I ask this.
In your name I ask this.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this time. Jesus, we thank you for this time. Lord, we know that you long for us to be healed, long for us to be whole, long for us to be complete. And so, Father, we have prayed this prayer, and we have opened our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, because, Father, we long to be complete. Father, we don't want to be broken anymore. Father, we want those places where we are weak that you will be strong. But Father, that we may see the hand of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes, God.
That all those that we have prayed for, Father, would come to know you and know you, Father, in the pardon of their sins. Father, we want to see your power move in our relationships. Father, we want to have a love that we have always longed for, but somehow has escaped us. For Father, we know that it is in you and in your power that everything that we have longed for is available. And you have said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Father, we look for that in our eternity, but even more, we look for the power and the grace and the mercy of the living God before our human eyes as we live and breathe. For you say that in you we live and move and have our being. Father, we recommit everything to you today. Our lives, our hearts, our minds, everything that we have, so that you will be glorified, not only in our lives, but in this place. We love you more than words can say. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
No class next Sunday.
Yes.